Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Our thanks to Adams Road for that musical introduction. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is my colleague, Eric Johnson. And yesterday, we started the show by talking about a BYU professor who was reprimanded for giving an interview to the Washington Post about the origins on the ban preventing those of African heritage of holding the Mormon priesthood. His name was Randy Bott, a religion professor at Brigham Young University, and he made some comments that the Mormon Church has repudiated in an official statement, and one of those being that God has always been discriminatory. This is what Randy Bott said. And he also compared the ban with a young child prematurely asking for the keys to her father's car and explained that similarity until 1978, the Lord determined that blacks were not yet ready for the priesthood. Well, naturally, his comments stirred up quite a controversy, causing the LDS Church to come out with an official statement repudiating what Randy Bott has said. And this is what the statement actually said. We're going to go through it line by line. So, Eric, why don't you read what the statement said? We'll start off.
Okay, the first sentence says this. The positions attributed to BYU professor Randy Bott in a recent Washington Post article absolutely do not represent the teachings and doctrines of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Now, here's the problem I have with this line. Mr. Bott was not really talking about the current position of the Mormon Church. He was talking about what caused the ban in the first place. So for the Mormon Church to come out and make this kind of a statement, absolutely do not represent the teachings and doctrines of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, well, no, of course, because he wasn't talking about what they are supposedly believing right now.
But it did talk about the past teachings and doctrines of the Church.
That was the whole issue. But you see, here's this cleverly designed statement is to give you the impression that unless you read it very carefully, that Randy Bott was off his nut on all these areas when he wasn't. He wasn't. He was merely citing what past leaders have said about this issue. And notice the statement does not address that. It doesn't address it. People, don't be gullible. Don't be manipulated. Read carefully what this statement is saying, because I think it shows us a clear example of the Mormon Church officially skirting this issue. Go on, Eric.
BYU faculty members do not speak for the church.
No, they don't. And that was really Randy Bott's major sin. He had given an unauthorized interview with the media. However, BYU professors are authorized to teach to students.
Right.
Okay. And I'm sure that he probably has taught these issues to students at one time or another. We know for a fact that even though he claimed to his students that he was misrepresented, you were saying how there's evidence to show that about, 3 years ago, Randy Bott was saying the same basic things on a blog site that he was writing on. So he really wasn't misrepresented. He wasn't taken out of context. I can't see that.
And if he had been, as a reporter, the Washington Post, I'm sure, taped it. I'm sure they would have something to say about a two-hour interview where they completely botched it.
And the reporter, Mr. Horowitz, is standing by the story saying, let the story stick. You know, let it speak for itself. So he's not retracting anything, and he's not admitting or conceding that there was anything that was taken out of context. But that's a usual statement, is to say you were taken out of context, and it's very easy to do that. But to say he was misrepresented, I don't know if he was, because what he's saying is easily found in other documents of past leaders.
And one of the things, too, when you're being interviewed, oftentimes to protect yourself, you'll want to audio tape that. If he has the tape, he ought to play it himself to show how that's true. Next line in this bill says, "It is unfortunate that the church was not given a chance to respond to what others said."
Well, of course. I mean, the church would love to be able to spin it as they are doing here. Here's what the church would have done. They would have spun it as they are spinning it here in this official statement. Go on.
The church's position is clear. We believe all people are God's children and are equal in his eyes and in the church.
Okay, again, folks, look very carefully. Randy Bott was talking about the past. This statement is talking about the present. Big difference. When it says the church's position is clear, what position? The current position. We believe all people are God's children and are equal in his eyes and in the church. They didn't in the past.
And that's the point. In the past, it was a much different scenario than it is today.
But notice this statement ignores that.
Well, and if you don't know the background and history of this bill, you're going to buy into this perhaps. Next line says, "We do not tolerate racism in any form."
Now, notice again, Randy Bott never said they did. He never discussed this. Again, this is in present tense. This is what the church believes right now. But they certainly tolerated racism in a lot of forms back in the 1950s, back in the 19th century. So this statement, again, means nothing. It is ignoring the issue.
Next line, "For a time in the church, there was a restriction on the priesthood for male members of the African descent. It is not known precisely why, how, or when this restriction began in the church, but what is clear is that it ended decades ago."
Now, here again, past leaders were very certain as to why the ban was in place. It is not that difficult to go back and read for yourself what past leaders have said about this. They often preface, why is there a ban on the blacks, or the Negroes, as they said back then? And then they would give you the reason why there was a ban. So they obviously knew. For the Mormon church to presently feign a mental lapse is so utterly dishonest.
And for them to say at the end of that, it ended decades ago. So I guess because it ended, therefore we shouldn't have to worry about how it all the precedent was set for that, for it to be ended in the first place.
But we know, Eric, that is a typical MO in the Mormon church. Oh, that was the past. Let's not worry about it. That's why Robert Millett says, don't bring up the history. Why? Because the history really exposes the lack of spiritual depth a lot of these leaders claim to have. And by going back to the history, we see these problems. This is why Robert Millett doesn't want us looking into the history, because he knows that bothers people, even in the Mormon church. And we know it bothers people. So when they say that they don't know why, how, or when, that's just not true. They're feigning a mental block here. We can go back and find out very easily what Mormon leaders have taught on this issue and what was in church manuals and what was in past conference messages and such.
And it played a very important role in the foundation of this church and in the first 150 years of this church for it to be a part of who they were. And that's all Bott was saying, is this is, he was trying to give reasons why God would have allowed for the blacks to have been banned from the priesthood. And for him, he's a faithful Latter-day Saint. And many people today are Latter-day Saints who were Latter-day Saints before 1978. It's just part of the transition of this church. Next line, "Some have attempted to explain the reason for the restriction, but these attempts should be viewed as speculation and opinion, not doctrine."
Now, again, this is not true, and we are going to spend more time on this. And I don't want to take a lot of time on that one line, because we are going to spend a lot of time on this tomorrow. But anyway, go on and read the next one.
"The church is not bound by speculation or opinions given with limited understanding."
Now, that's an interesting statement. The church is not bound by speculation or opinions given with limited understanding, but the members certainly are, and the members, especially those of a black heritage, African-American heritage, or African heritage, they were bound by the dictates of the leadership. So if it really was not a doctrine, then what the Mormon church is telling us in this statement is, hey, we really have no discernment whatsoever. We actually make policy based on speculation and opinion. It really doesn't come from God, but you as a member are going to suffer because of our lack of spiritual discernment. Isn't that what we've kind of been saying for 30 years in this ministry, that we don't believe that the Mormon leadership really speaks for God? Are they really admitting it to us now in this particular case? It seems to be. You can't have it both ways. Either God told them to do it, or they were doing something that was made up out of man's heart, and this carried on from generation to generation to generation, clear on down to 1978, when Spencer Kimball, being the president of the church, moved to have this thing reversed.
The last line of this statement, we condemn racism, including any and all past racism, by individuals both inside and outside the church.
And my question is, really? I have never heard any Mormon leader come out and condemn Brigham Young or John Taylor or Joseph Fielding Smith or Harold B. Lee or Bruce McConkie, Mark Peterson, or any other of a number of Mormon leaders who made horribly racist remarks in the past years of Mormonism. This almost sounds like, well, we're condemning racism by individuals, meaning lay members. Are they really including the leadership of the church? Because if they are, then what do they do with a statement made by Gordon Hinckley when he said, I remind you that no man who makes disparaging remarks concerning those of another race can consider himself a true disciple of Christ, nor can he consider himself to be in harmony with the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ. How can a man holding the Melchizedek priesthood arrogantly assume that he is eligible for the priesthood, whereas another who lives a righteous life but whose skin is of a different color is ineligible? Well, that's exactly what those men that I just named said. And I am sure Gordon Hinckley probably at one time, at least if he didn't say it public, believed it in his heart up until 1978, that if you were of another color, you were ineligible for the Mormon priesthood.
That quote you just gave needs to be pointed out. It was from the Ensign magazine. It was a conference edition, so it was spoken at a general conference. May of 2005 is the edition, page 58.
A fair question, then. If Hinckley is telling us the truth in this statement, can we conclude that the above men that I just mentioned, these men that I just said, were not really true disciples of Christ?
We need to listen to their statements tomorrow.
And we're going to be looking at a number of these claims that Mormon leaders have made in the past to confirm that this statement is certainly misleading.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wanted to go to the Holy Land? It's the place where Jesus walked, a place of great significance in our Bibles. In late February of 2013, Mormonism Research Ministry and Utah Lighthouse Ministry are hosting an 11-day trip to Israel. Among other places, we will experience baptism in the Jordan River, walk through Hezekiah's Tunnel, explore Masada, and float in the Dead Sea. During our trip, we plan to spend a day with Israeli resident Joel Kramer, a former Utah pastor and current film producer, who will take us to Cave 1 and Qumran and Jericho as well. In addition, a 7-day pre-extension tour to Turkey is available. Your price includes all transportation, admission fees, meals and taxes, and tips. If you've never been to the Holy Land, or even if you have, join Bill McKeever, Sandra Tanner, and several local Utah pastors for the trip of a lifetime. It all begins February 19th, 2013. Visit theapologeticstudybibletour.com for more information or call 602-788-8864.